All right, let's talk to this guy now. He has a neighbor he wants to tell us about.
Hi, good morning.
Vincent Clary.
Yes, good morning.
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 Yes. Where would you like to start?
What's your problem
with him?
Okay, my problem is I live next to a blighted area. A neighbor created their own little junkyard, their own little dump site that I get to wake up to and see each and every day for... It's really over 5 years now.
This is in Torrington.
This is in Torrington, and I get to see it every day. Just really, really, really recent. 2 weeks ago, I was outside with my wife cleaning up the yard, spring cleaning, that sort of thing.
Your yard?
My yard.
Yeah.
And get everything ready for spring, branches put to the side, and wake up the next day, and I expect these things to happen overnight. It's always overnight. Now a dead tree is thrown on top of the pile.
Oh, using your pile.
Okay. There's a pile. It's old housing debris, doors, windows, that sort of structure, pallets. They were building, let's just call it, I used to call it a fort, but it's like a shanty they started building about 5 or 6 years ago. And on the side of my property where they can't see it from their house, but I get the full view of this structure. And years ago, I started calling the town about, do they have a permit to put this up? I get nowhere with this town. I kept calling and calling. And one day they said, well, it has to be at least 20 feet. I have to go out there and measure it. I tell the
town. It has to be 20 feet?
For them to get a permit. I would call the town and I would say, it's 20 feet. Then they would say, well, it has to be at least 8 foot high. I have to go back out there and measure it. Call it. Yeah, it's over 8 feet, and call them. And usually you're leaving messages. There's really no one there to answer your phone call.
By the way, you need a building permit for that.
Yeah.
And yes, they tax anything over 10 feet.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they do. And they would tell me things just like what you had mentioned, 10 feet. Well, you live on a state road. It has to be 10 feet, and the edifice now has to be at least 200 feet. So I realized at this point, seven years ago, really, that they have no interest in coming out, but I get to see this.
Here's the funny thing
building.
About Torrington.
What's that?
They have a blight enforcement officer.
Oh.
I would say... I would say... Here's your shining star moment.
Right, here's your blight.
This
your
is
job.
What you were born to do. Go do it. When you were in school and you said, someday I'm going to be a blight enforcement officer. Here it is.
Right. Here's your day.
Here's your blight, dude.
Here's your moment.
Your moment has arrived.
I would go back to the blight enforcement officer, and whoever answered the phone, blight enforcement officer is a female.
Yeah.
Her name is Ashley. And a male would always answer the phone. He would tell me to call building and zoning, planning, and I go back and forth.
It's been going on for years.
Well, what happened, one December in 2019, this edifice fell down into my property. So I decided, there's two guys who live there, mid-30s, they're like adolescents, okay? I decided just to take all this stuff and throw it back over the wall. Okay, a little
bit.
That's
exactly what I would have done.
Yeah, why not?
Here's your stuff back.
Here's your stuff back.
Yeah, yeah.
Overnight, it would start to be built again. Following December of 20, here it is again, fell down onto my property.
Why are they? I don't get why the town isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
At that point, I had called the police department, and they gave me a sergeant at the desk. And he told me that you don't have to throw it back. It's on your property. I didn't want to be, you know, a bad neighbor, that sort of thing. I'm an old man. These are young kids. I thought maybe I'd help them out. I threw it back over again.
Yeah.
Happens again, 2021, December again. So I have photographs. I have video of all this stuff. And by the way, I went to school in New Haven at Albertus and Pear, so I have a lot of video equipment.
Nice.
Make a long story short, I decided I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take one of the pallets and drag it back into my yard. And the pallets might have been mine from the get-go.
See, you know what I thought when we started this story? This is a guy who's having a problem with blight.
Yeah.
In Torrington.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, maybe Vincent's crazy.
Right.
And the town just finds him annoying as hell.
Maybe. Yeah.
And they're like, we just don't take his calls anymore.
Right.
But I'm hearing him, and he doesn't sound crazy.
No.
And I feel bad for him.
He doesn't even sound enraged. I'd be enraged.
You
sound justified.
I got to give you credit, man. Yes. I'd be losing my mind already.
Yep.
This is unreal.
out of birth.
I didn't
stuff
lose
down.
My mind until.
See, hold on one second. Dan's from Waterbury. He's like, whatever.
Yeah. No, I would have burnt it down. Screw you, man. You get one try and I'm burning it down.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
On December the 21st, 21, I decided to take that pal and drag it into my yard. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know that my neighbors, who are usually unseen, they only come out at night, called the police department. The police sent three officers here, three officers to visit me. And it must have been a slow day, yeah. They all came into my house and asked me about that pallet. I said, yeah, I took that pallet, and that's also on my lawn, all the other stuff that's out there. But he gave me a hard time, and believe me, I'm not giving the cop a bad time because I couldn't do their job.
Yeah.
But he arrested me for that pallet.
What?
Really?
Hold on.
He arrested
me. We're missing something here. Yeah. We're missing something. This has to be just your version of this. It can't be this crazy.
Yeah.
No, I was arrested for that pallet, and two of the three actually went out my front door, and one grabbed the pallet and brought it back over to the pile.
They arrested you.
They did, and they went. The pallet is still there.
Is there somebody else in the background with you right now?
That would be my wife.
Can you put her on for a second?
Sure.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hey. Is he on any medications?
You would think, other than medical necessity, and I'm on no medications. And
this is unbelievable.
Bizarre.
It is unbelievable. And, just to have to face this every day, I've written, emails. We've contacted anyone we can think of, from the city to the state to representatives, sent pictures. It's just people just can't believe it. And people come to our home. They're out in the yard and they're like, what is that? As I said to the person who was interviewing us from, the news, I said, if I wanted to live next to a dump, I would have bought property next to a dump. But here I have bought a home with beautiful picture windows to look out at the trees and nature and, the beauty. And this is what we have.
I can't believe they won't clean it up.
Yeah.
There's more to this story.
Yeah.
Or, I would like to know why. They then, posted as part of a newscast some of what is considered to be blight. And every one of those boxes can be checked here. We have grass that once it starts growing, that side, that portion of the yard next door, it's longer than 10 inches. You're looking at covered up and unpainted boarded areas. Well, the backside of that house from what you can see in behind our pile is all boarded up.
This could probably go on for a couple of hours.
I
feel for you.
How could this not be blight?
Hey, listen.
How could a city that has a blight department.
A blight department!
Yes. Yes, there is a blight.
What are you doing?
Right.
What are you busy doing?
Right.
Yes, so that's
show me the property you're working on.
Right.
Make a list of what you did today.
Yes, that's my question.
I'm more mad than you are, by the way.
I
just heard myself on my way. Wait a minute. They're handling this okay. I think I could too.
Well, they've had years of practice.
Listen, we're going to have a political reporter on at 8 to talk about some stuff that's going on in Hartford. I'm going to bring this up to him. We got to get more people on this.
Yeah, make noise.
We got to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
Right. We have invited, in our emails, invited anyone that we spoke with, come over, come into our home, see what we look at, come and sit out at our, deck.
Have a nice tea, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll serve, coffee, whatever.
I gotta go. We're gonna talk to you again.
Yes.
Tell Vincent. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, we're not dealing with a crazy person.
Right, just checking in.
And you both sound like very nice people who are in a very bad situation because the town won't do a damn thing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna check back in.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
So we thank you very much.
Tell Vincent we said thanks.
Up our cause.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is our cause now.
Yes.
At the very least, we're going to find out why they're not doing a damn thing.
Yeah, curious.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
You're about to hear a woman face the biggest challenge of her life.
Yes.
It's Teresa Kriske. She's with Total Balance Life Choice. She teaches people how to just
chill out.
Oh, really? Good luck with that.
Right.
help.
I saw on our calendar that our group here was doing a lunch and learn where we all kind of get together and we bring in a professional and we learn how to do things. And sometimes it's cooking and sometimes it's whatever.
Right.
And today it's stress reduction and changing your thoughts. I'm like, oh, bring
boy.
Her here.
Send her to me.
Savior.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for signing up to come in. I appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
You know, you're not going to move the ball here, but I just want you to know you're in for a challenge.
You can document it.
Maybe somebody listening gets something, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right. We'll help somebody else out there.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to play a couple of examples of us here.
Okay.
This is... First, me. Okay. This is from today?
Just today. Just wow. with really within the last
it's
hour.
It's still fresh.
Yeah. It's the last hour.
It's still okay. fresh. It's still pink.
Right. This is job. What you were born to do. Here it is.
Right. Here's your day.
Here's your plate, dude.
Here's your moment.
Your moment has arrived.
Blank department.
Yes.
What are you doing?
My taxes are going
what are you
to pay
busy doing?
Right.
Yes, that's what
show
that's
me the property you're working on.
Right.
Right. Make that's a list exactly of what you did today.
That last word.
Motor right down.
Today.
Yep.
What do you think?
Like grass and lawnmower.
What's going on there?
I don't think you'd have a show if you weren't upset about that.
Today.
I think, first of all, I think expressing it is awesome. But,
oh.
But, you know, because what happens is if we don't express it, we're repressing it, and that's when we get in big trouble.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so
no repression here, no.
Yeah, right. So it's really about letting it out, letting it go. And if you really want to change it, then you got to change your thoughts. But
it unbroke them.
Yeah. What would I change them to? If I'm listening to this person.
Right.
Who's sounds like a good, nice couple.
Yeah.
And they've tried everything. And the government just keeps, you know.
You're frustrated for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I just hear this. I'm like, why are you taking a paycheck? Why are you taking a pension? Why are you getting health care when you're not doing anything
right.
that you're supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm with you on that. So, you know,
you sound way better.
See, the way you do it, much better.
But,
that's the thing.
Right. You want to call the HR for yours.
So where I go with it is, okay, if it was my yard, if it was my life, I'd say, okay, what is it I'm supposed to learn here? What is it that I can really do? I've gone, and you guys are great. I think they're doing everything they can on the outside. And now they got to like look inside and say, okay, what is this supposed to show me? Have they talked to the people? That's the first thing I would ask. And then just keep asking, what can I do here? What is mine to do? You know, and then go
what
from there. What is mine to do?
What is mine to
what
do?
What is mine to do?
What is mine to do?
Yeah, because if they can't get help outside there, it's got to come from within. And then, I don't know, I'd put up shades for a while. Right. I don't know, you know.
Build a wall.
Yeah, right. Build a wall. There you go.
A big, ugly wall.
Today.
But I get your anger about what are people, the community, you know, what is the community doing about it?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So what about like you're in traffic, someone cuts you off? Oh.
Yeah,
see. I'm very familiar
there.
With that.
Okay.
Again, it's what am I thinking about that person?
Right.
And all I could do is change my thoughts about... A lot of times when people get cut off in traffic, they think somebody's out to get them.
Uh-huh.
And it's not about you. That person is totally unconscious about who you are.
They're just stupid.
Exactly.
They're just an idiot.
They're just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really about thinking about... I mean, I'm on the road a lot and... Really about saying, okay, I'm just going to back up and let them go. They're in a bigger hurry than I am.
Right.
So it's all I could do is change my thoughts about them. Or I could get angry.
Right. So see, you figure this out.
Have you ever had road rage?
Yes.
Yeah?
Have you ever given someone the middle finger?
Yes.
That was you?
That was a quick yes.
That was a quick yes.
That was you?
And it was underlined.
Right. Yes. It's very rare. But it has happened.
Have you given someone the middle finger?
Hold on.
Today.
No, not today. No,
yes.
And it sounds like the end of that floor commercial.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. 2-300. The par.
Today. Yeah. All right. What about, let's let's ask the tribe this.
Okay.
Is there anything that is happy that makes you mad? In other words, it's supposed to make you happy, but it really annoys the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Like the Wiggles.
Right. The Wiggles.
Okay. They're very happy and joyous.
Way too
right?
happy. Way too joyous.
Potato, hot potato.
Exactly.
Hot potato, hot potato.
I hear this,
how
and I want to murder people.
How dare they be so happy? How dare you? Yeah.
No, you know what it is?
Hot potato, hot potato. Great.
What are you doing?
Potato, potato, potato.
I just see a bunch of people who couldn't make it in a boy band.
Yeah.
Now selling out and doing kids programs.
And
you have no
millions.
Right being on anywhere near children, right. And now you're singing about potatoes and you're making money.
In different colors. In different colors. Mr. Purple, Mr. Yellow, Mr. Red, Mr. Orange.
It makes me crazy.
Yes.
Anytime I hear the Wiggles,
right.
I want to just start ripping stuff apart.
Give my face the Wiggles.
No one else?
Wiggles, yeah. That's my gender reveal.
I don't
parties.
Think I hear them often enough to get angry about them.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, what I think of, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. Actually, I want
to. Oh, you see them and you're like, wow, I could have been
I've
rich.
Never seen them, but just hearing it, I'm like, why didn't I think of doing that?
Right.
They make millions.
They do.
Oh,
do
they really? It's sick.
That's the enraging thing.
It started with one group and now there's like
damn.
80 different groups and they tour the planet.
Yep.
Different languages.
They could buy eggs.
They could buy eggs.
They could buy eggs.
They got egg money.
They could order an appetizer.
Is there anyone who looks at something that's supposed to be happy? And gets mad.
Gender reveal parties.
No, those are dumb.
Those are
nuts.
Those.
I'm like, come on. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah.
That enrages you.
It does. It was cute at first. Now it's like enough. It's like one strike trying to top the other.
We're not that into you.
Folks are actually dying. Folks are actually being killed during these damn things.
Yeah.
The plane went out of control and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree.
The one time with the Tannerite and almost died. Yeah.
If you have it for 20 people in your house and that's it,
yeah.
Fine.
Right.
But if you put it out there to the world, like you want us all, you're doing a hook to make us all watch.
Yeah, remember the time the wildfire struck as a gender reveal party.
Right.
You know, that thing went off and boom, next thing you know, half of California burned down to the ground.
Yeah.
All because, it's a boy.
Okay, you know? So we got the Wiggles, we got gender reveal. Anything
yes, thank
else?
You. Yeah.
My girlfriend hates nice weather.
Does she sell raincoats?
Yeah, that's like, she wants it to be like 50 and cloudy. That's her
oh,
perfect
really?
Day.
Oh, really? That's a perfect
wow.
day.
Is she British?
Yeah. No, just pale.
You mentioned something earlier that drives me crazy is when I'm in a bar and people are 2 feet in front of me and they're screaming at one another.
Right.
And they're having a good time. That's what I want to say to myself. And
right.
Meanwhile, I want to punch them out.
Yep.
Okay.
Look at that. See?
Look at it. See?
One
I like
of
her.
Us. One of us.
Full of rich.
One of us.
The lunch you learn today is going to be a lot different. Thanks to us.
But I don't. I don't punch him in the face.
Right.
Calm
but you
myself,
think it.
I think it. And then I change my thought very quickly.
What do you change it to?
Just breathe.
Puppies.
Let them have their good
breathe.
Time.
I do too.
Leave if you have to. I always have that choice if
nice.
I have to.
Oh, all right, we're getting our anger up.
Yes, we are.
We have Teresa Kriskian. She's COO of Total Balance Life Choice. They help you just go through life better.
Right.
She's doing a lunch and learn here today on stress reduction and changing your thoughts. And I was like, oh, let's see how you could do with this show.
We're tailgating right now.
We asked the tribe to call in, whatever annoys the crap out of them.
Yes.
Jerry the Painter.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
You know, I am very happy that people get to go on vacations and maybe extravagant vacations, but don't stick it to me by overposting 60, 70 pictures. I'm on vacation and you're not.
Yeah.
I get a picture of the bathroom. I get a picture of you milking the fatted cow. I get a picture of the family.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's like, no.
Oh, yeah, like three different angles of pancakes you had for breakfast.
Yeah, like every second. Like we don't really care about you that much.
Yeah. They're pancakes, but they're vacation pancakes.
I had a bite out of this one.
I had somebody post on my Facebook wall that we realize that most of you can't afford this vacation, so we're going to chronicle our 100-day vacation.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, like they're doing
so
a
sweet.
Service.
Oh,
my eyes. Oh, I don't need to see that.
I hate unfriend.
Unfriend. Unfriend.
Goodbye.
Teresa, what do you think?
Yeah.
Unfriend, for
unfriend.
Sure.
Unfriend.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't
nice
need to see
short.
That.
Friend.
It's brag
I
book.
I have nobody
it's
on Facebook.
Facebook. It's
I'm like, I'm sorry, Ma.
Thank you, Jerry. That's a good one. So just unfriend.
Unfriend.
Get away from
that. Yeah, I mean, the other thing is to change your thought about it and say, I'm happy for you, but that would be a lie probably.
Or snooze for 30 days is great, too. They don't
That's when you start
days.
This suppression.
Yeah.
When you're like, I'm happy for you.
Right, yeah.
There's something in you
that
doesn't fit.
You're right.
Like, I'm mad that I'm... Not mad.
Exactly. I just read bold letters. You suck.
I have to unfriend them. That's the way I would handle it.
Emma.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
So last night, I was driving with my son, and his car broke down. 3 hours it took for the tow driver to get to us.
Oof,
and we were on the Berlin Turnpike.
Oof.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm mad is because I was in Wethersfield and I was originally having it towed to Wallingford, which is not a problem because it's really not that far of a distance. But when we called back to change the destination to Milford, nobody wanted to do that. I got refused by 5 different tow truck companies.
Yeah. Mm. It's Milford. Yeah. Forget about it. Yep.
So that's, you know, and then you're sitting there for 3 hours on the side of, I'm on the Berlin Turnpike, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
You got to call Frank's and that's on you.
Yep.
They don't say no to anybody.
That's a slogan.
But you know what? I knew once we told them, you know, to bring it farther, I knew we were going to get refused. And I didn't really think they could, I know they do that. But I didn't think they're supposed to do that.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato.
Great, now I'm potatoes.
You sound like a hot potato, Emma.
You should have heard me last night. I was saying a lot of things.
In a good way.
All right, Emma. Thank you. Teresa, what do you think?
So I think, you know, exactly in the moment she had to be angry, but she's not holding on to it today.
No.
You know, she's...
She sounds fine.
She's laughing about it in the moment.
Right.
You know, we're human. And could you change your thought in the moment? Probably, but... Sometimes there's just...
It's okay to be
upset. Yeah, you got mad.
Feel your feelings.
And the other thing about holding on to it is sometimes if you don't express it, it comes out at other people in inappropriate times.
They're like, what's up with you?
Yeah, exactly.
I just said good morning.
Yeah, right. You're really mad at
Phil?
I get mad. People seem to get excited about this. You see like a dog like just out in your everyday life. Most of the time, I'm happy to see dogs. When I'm in the grocery store, I'm enraged. It's like they shouldn't be in here.
Yeah, that's gross.
I think it's pretty clear that dogs are not allowed in the grocery store.
And the guy with the glasses behind him.
different situation.
Beep, beep, thump.
People are like, can I pet the dog? I'm like, no, don't support that.
Yeah, hair everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm with you because I love dogs, and I was just talking about this the other day. They bring something to humanity.
They do.
And it softens people immediately. And but I don't want it in the restaurant. I don't want to see a dog licking its ass while I'm having a steak.
You'll get an appetite from that. I do.
Okay. I really please not in the restaurant.
Right.
Now, if it's a low end restaurant, fine. But if you know,
right? Just know the dog's trying to kill the taste.
Right.
Of the food he just had.
If they prepare food, they're not supposed to have a dog there.
Right.
And then it's got to be like a legit service animal. And most of the time, it's one of those little carrying cases.
How else do you clean fake vest that they bought online? Like, get out of here.
How else do you clean the dish?
Yeah. Teresa, what do you
think? That's where I go with it. I have to say, okay, maybe it's a service dog.
I'm not going to be the person inspecting. I'm never going to be that person. But when I see somebody else like, oh, can I pet the dog? That's when I'm like, no, this is not supposed to be
here. Don't reward
right. Good point. You don't want to be the one that goes over and says, hey, with the dog.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm going to be dead in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
You know what? Let me get
I'll go back to my table.
I'll get you a biscuit.
Yeah. Ruth?
May I help her shake you?
So, the holidays in general, you're supposed to be happy. It just drives you crazy. I don't like anything about it, but especially...
This is the nicest one of all of us, by the way.
True. Okay. It's true, yes.
Go ahead.
It even affected her.
When you get the Christmas cards that are like the professional photos of the family and their kids, and they're like all dressed alike, or they're from vacation, or there's like 8 different poses of the children. Like, what do I do with this? I don't know.
It's kindling for the fireplace.
I hate your family.
I don't know. I don't know. It just drives me nuts.
You hate kids.
Specifically Christmas cards.
And holidays. Just hate families.
This is me when I get those. I'm like, oh, look how nice.
This is one of those storylines. It took a long time to come out, but it's really obvious now.
Yes.
She hates kids.
Simpatico.
You hate kids. We were talking about Ayesha's baby yesterday, and I was like,
yuck.
I said, someone has like five kids. I'm like, that has to be a lot. And you were like, one is a lot.
I like other people's kids. Okay. I like kids when they get a little older. Right. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So adults.
All right. So in closing, what do you think?
I want to address that one because I get that way too. But really? My reason for it is I wish I had the time and the energy to sit for a photo and then have the foresight to put it on a card and send it out. And I get mad at myself.
Jealous.
That I never did it.
Yeah.
But then I save the card forever because then that's the only time I get to see this family is in the Christmas cards. But
here's AJ opening a Christmas card.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. See, usually I get an arrest photo.
Well,
this year
you're going to have a good time at lunch today.
I hope.
This is, if you could get through this.
Oh, this is great.
Your business sounds great, by the way. And you're absolutely the right person to do it. Total Balance Life Choice will link up on the radio station website. Teresa Criske, thank you.
Thank you.
Lots to talk about here with Jimmy Koplik of Live Nation, 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Rock Hall of Fame news, Brian Adams, Pat Benatar news that was teased last week, Alice Cooper news, Ozzy Osbourne stuff.
Yes.
Jelly Roll, and the list goes on and on. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
First, let's start with the Wiggles.
Yes.
Okay.
We had a stress reduction person in studio, and we were talking about things that are supposed to make you happy, that make you mad, and I said the Wiggles.
Yep.
Well, that's not going to make too many people happy because I'm working on bringing the Wiggles back into Oakdale.
Hey, most people like
I clearly won't advertise on your between 6 and 10 on PLR. That's for sure.
Worst ad read ever.
All you're doing is smile.
You see this stupid show.
Yeah, most people like the Wiggles.
Yes.
Most kids love the Wiggles.
They bring happiness.
I'm just
song.
One of those people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I see them. I'm like, what is going on here?
Right.
Well, we had the Wiggles like 5 or 6 times at Oakdale. And the first time we had them, it was the original four Wiggles, and it was great. And then one of the Wiggles, it sounds so weird saying the word Wiggles, but one of the Wiggles, I'm a grown-up. Why am I even using that? But one of the Wiggles quit, and they put a new Wiggle in. And they put them, and they each wear a separate color, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Teletubbies. And,
yeah, like purple,
yeah, like
red, orange, yellow. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and they put this other guy in the purple shirt or whatever color he was supposed, the old guy was in.
Yeah.
And the attendance went down.
Yeah.
And I said, these kids actually know the faces or the colors. I was very surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like losing Sting in the Police. Would the Police draw that well? Well, right. They lost purple in the Wiggles, and the purple. I mean, the Wiggles went down. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's weird.
But then the kids started to pick up again.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Like human Fruit Loops.
Jimmy, being someone who's promoted all of the great acts.
Yes.
Yes, I've gone downhill from the Rolling Stones to the Wiggles, if that's what you're saying.
Do the Wiggles have a rider?
No. But I mean, you know, being someone who's promoted all of these acts, nurtured them.
Yeah.
But you see this and you're like, what?
Right.
Millionaires.
Well, at the end of the day, if it sells out, I go, yay.
That's right.
Hot potato, hot potato.
That way I can buy dinner.
Nice.
Right. Okay, so let's get to Brian Adams, Pat Benatar, teased last week on the show, announced yesterday.
Ooh.
Yes, announced yesterday. We worked it out. We put them together. They were on a tour.
Excellent.
And the tour opens up at Mohegan Sun on October 25th.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yep.
Those two together, man, that's a night of hits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Whoever put this package together really deserves a lot of credit. It is a match. We call it a 1+1=3 because it will draw more people than either one would draw on their own.
Oh,
it really
good thinking.
Is great.
Good thinking.
Yeah, it's a great package.
Yep.
Alice Cooper reunited with his original band.
Yep.
Yes, Westchester. I mean, Connecticut Boys.
Yes.
You know, the band's from Fairfield County, I think. Dennis Dunaway, great guy. A bunch of them, great guys, very exciting.
Neil Smith,
yep. wonderful guy. I mean, I wonder if he's taking them out on tour when they go out on tour.
From what I understand, I believe they think the band's reformed as the old band for now. I think they are going to tour.
Really?
Yeah.
But they know they did the record together.
Yeah.
That much I know.
Yeah. Do we have a sample of the record?
That would be great.
We have a sample of the
Black
record?
Mamba, yeah.
Yeah, no? We do or don't? We don't have it ready.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, wait,
well,
here.
That's...
Wait, here it is.
Hot potato. Wow, house is great.
Why is he in purple?
That is a new band.
Right. Oh, I know. You put the Wiggles into a guillotine.
Right.
That's the idea.
That's what he's doing. Sliced potatoes.
The red one is wrapped in a snake and being choked out.
Right. And the yellow one's in the guillotine. This could be the Wiggles. What's it called? Nightmare of the Wiggles or something like that?
Yeah, welcome to my Wiggle nightmare.
Great Julian
exactly,
fries.
That's what
yep.
Oh, here's the new Alice Cooper.
Black Mama slides. Black Mama sways. A word to the wise now, baby. You better get out of my way. Black Mama slides.
That's great, yeah.
Black
It sounds like 1974,
it
Alice
does.
Cooper.
It does.
It really does. I was thinking the same thing.
He sounds just as great.
Yeah. He never changed.
Hey, it's unbelievable. I saw him and very little talking in between songs, just pounding out song after song after song, hit after hit.
Yep.
You forget how many hit songs he
Game money's worth big time, man. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this story here, and we got calls coming in for Jimmy. We'll take a few.
Okay.
But this story speaks to what Jimmy says every single week. See these acts while you can.
Yes.
Carlos Santana hospitalized after suffering a medical emergency as he prepped for a Texas concert.
Whoops.
77-year-old icon. So hopefully he's okay.
Yeah.
And, hopefully he gets back on the road.
Look, I always say it, and you're right. Please go see them before you can't see them anymore. Things happen suddenly when you're in your 70s, and I think that and Santana's had a couple of issues on stage. In Milwaukee, he fainted once on stage, and it's very hard for these artists in their 70s to go out on the road. I give them a lot of credit. It's very difficult, especially when you're playing outdoors, and it makes it even more difficult. So, yep, just what I say. Don't lose that opportunity.
Yeah.
Ed, Windsor Locks, what's your question for Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, how we doing?
Good.
Couple questions. First comment, the brothers were fantastic, and we need more of them in our world. Question would be, you two going to be doing anything in the next year or two? Hitting the road or a new album or anything?
No word yet. It's been a while because I did go see them at Sphere, and that was a while ago. I guess that was January of last year I went to see them. I don't remember when I saw them, actually. But it's been a while. So, these guys that really play stadiums mostly, I think that they tour every 2 or 3 years because it takes a lot to put their production together. So we'll certainly see them on the road again. They're not definitely staying home, but I don't think it would be in 2025.
Okay, and anything going to happen in Hartford this year? Not feeling the love again.
It's a lot of shows.
Well,
there
really are. There are some good shows. There's certainly not the number we used to have. It's hard to get into because it's sort of talking about how we book shows, but we don't locally book shows into that venue anymore. It's done by our national touring division, and they're not paying enough attention to us. Let's put it that way. And we fight all the time about that with our touring division. There'll be a few more shows announced. There'll be a few more coming in.
I'd love to see Tedeschi Trucks in Hartford again because Bridgeport's just too far away.
They love Bridgeport.
Well, I feel the opposite.
That won't happen.
Right.
Bridgeport. Hey, man, it's been a yin and yang. When we had New Haven and Hartford, that was one thing.
Yeah.
And then New Haven went away. And we had to drive to Hartford.
So you guys
now we got Bridgeport.
Right.
And this part of the state is very happy.
Yes, very happy. Elated.
Yes, and Central Connecticut is a ghost town of cultural
things. Say Waterbury.
It's actually always the slogan.
That's the slogan,
right?
Well, let's not forget Oakdale.
Okay. Oh, yes.
And that's what a great place
that's
to see shows.
Awesome
that
place.
Is truly in the center of the
awesome.
State of Connecticut.
Yep.
But there's something to be said for outside, on the lawn, under the stars.
You're right.
You're right. I agree. And, you're absolutely right.
And shows that go to similar-sized amphitheaters in neighboring states seem to wind up in Bridgeport, not Hartford. Unfortunate.
You're right on that also. We have 40 shows in Bridgeport. We only have about 10, 12 shows in Hartford every year. But it really isn't Bridgeport that's taking the shows away, because Bridgeport's only 5,700 tickets, 5,700 seats, and Hartford's 25,000 seats.
Whoa.
It's just the big acts aren't coming to Hartford right now.
No,
that's why we opened up Rensselaer Field. That's why we're bringing more shows. We're going to try to get more shows into Rensselaer Field to try to build up the Hartford area with concerts.
Nice.
That would be most welcome. Like, I remember seeing the Police there, and that was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah. Ed, thank you very much, man. Great call. Jimmy Kopelik, Live Nation is on, taking your calls. We got to talk about the Rock Hall of Fame. There's some news on that front.
Yes.
But first, Jimmy, are you interested in buying the name Firefest?
The fire sale.
No, that would be an awful brand to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they need to pay us to buy it.
Would you buy Woodstock if that was available?
Yes.
Yes.
I would buy Woodstock. I still think the biggest memory of Woodstock is not Woodstock 99. I still think it's 69.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
94 went well, too. So there were two out of three that went well. I was involved in only one of the three, which was 94.
A good one.
Yep.
Yes. Thank goodness I wasn't 99.
Well, Watkins Glen in 94, like Woodstock.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff to have on your resume.
Incredible track record. It's unbelievable.
If you only did those two things your whole life, that would have been enough.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in my 20s and in my 30s then, tried Sound on Sound for 2 years, and I was wiped out.
So yeah.
I quit Sound on Sound. They renamed it Soundside, maybe because I quit Sound on Sound. So I didn't even go to Soundside last year. And I won't be there this year either.
And, well, and you had the Stones at Toad's Place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we could keep going.
It's an epic thing.
Have you ever made a resume?
No, I never needed to look for a job.
Isn't that cool?
That's very
Jimmy,
cool.
That is unbelievable.
No, but you know what would be? We should have Anthony Avalon from Reitman make a Jimmy Kopelik. Like resume, can you imagine how that would read?
Pages and pages and pages and pages of success.
No, but you got to make it just short. You got to make it like a page.
Just a one page. Here are
the highlights
of Incredibles. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Incredible.
How do you make one page with 57 years of doing the same thing?
Right. So instead of saying, you know, all of the bands, which by the way would look like a 3,600 page.
It would be, yeah.
You know,
it's
almanac.
It's still printing right now.
I think you just say the amount of shows you brought, the amount of tickets you sold, the amount of dollars made.
Nice.
You know, and then highlights.
Right.
Maybe the shows I didn't do. I've never promoted Jimi Hendrix. Here are the artists I didn't promote.
Wow.
Right, that's shorter.
Very short.
Yeah, it'd be short then. But at least it would be readable and people would say, okay, I can move on to the next thing. He never did Hendrix? We're not hiring him.
Well.
He screwed me, though. He OD'd the night before my show. So
wow.
I did book him. I just never promoted him. I promoted him. He just didn't show up.
Yeah.
Selfish. He was unconscious.
Yep.
Damn it.
No, but think about it. If you put a paragraph together of like, here are five of the artists I want you to know that I promoted, who would they be?
Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, Ringo Starr, Grateful Dead, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Allman Brothers.
Really? That's a guy who almost killed you.
Right.
Yeah, and I beat him. He's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who came out on top now?
Yeah. Man, see? Who's on top now? See, remember, man.
Oh, my God. What a resume.
Yeah.
And then you built
just
the Meadows.
One. Yeah.
Yes, the Meadows.
There's a lot there.
The Amp in Bridgeport.
Just having one thing like that is amazing.
Yeah. Holy crap.
You kind of cornered the market on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Overachiever.
AJ, that's the idea. You know what I mean?
I won't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody.
Shh. Let me test this. All right, so no Fyre Fest for Jimmy.
Oh, no. My goodness. I can't imagine why this guy tried it a second time.
Exactly.
He missed again.
The word dump was missing.
Dump the cheese fire. Sandwiches. Yeah. That's what I was
Exactly. Right.
The cheese sandwiches, of course.
It's an iconic moment. Yeah.
When he announced it, so many people in our industry laughed out loud. It was the funniest.
It wasn't
thing in
just
the
industry. Yeah.
Fresh out of jail.
You're right, Phil. You're
but he did the same thing again, yeah. Where the location was like, we're not. There's no permits.
Yeah.
And what he showed wasn't where it was going to actually happen. It was
no axe.
Oh,
they're like,
my
who?
God.
Yeah.
The best interview would be the idiots that actually bought tickets to Fyre Fest 2.
Right.
I'd love to speak to those people because I've got tickets I could sell them. Shows that I've never done.
Seriously, right? Jimi Hendrix.
Seriously. Yeah,
Jimmy, I've got food in my pantry I can serve them.
I got these two tickets I bought.
Elvis Presley's on the bill.
Janis Joplin.
Yes.
Here's a half-open bag of raw almonds. Go nuts.
Ooh, let me see.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Nick in Southington.
How you guys doing today?
Good,
hey,
thank
how you doing?
Hey, good run you guys had for 25 years. Kind of hard to win by that fast.
Who, us?
Yeah.
It's 22 years, and right. We're not done.
Nope.
Well, 25, 30. You guys got another 20 to go.
I know.
Thank you.
All right, so, Jim, nice talking with you. My question is, what do we got to do to get the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, in the Hall of Fame?
He has to get nominated first by the committee. Okay. I would certainly vote for him. I think he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Shouldn't he be in? Shouldn't he have been in like a long time ago?
Yeah, I think he never got nominated as far as I know.
That's
I don't think
problem.
He's ever been nominated.
How can we get a thing together to nominate this guy?
Get a nod.
Well, you know, there's this committee of, I think, 14 people that actually put the nominations up to voters like me that then get sent the ballot, and then we choose out of their numbers, you know, their choices. Look, there were a lot of artists, Ted certainly being one of them, who I also happen to like personally also, was a great guy. And it would be totally appropriate to get him in, no question about
it. Oh, yeah. Among some of the people they put in over the last few years, come on. I mean, there are some people that, like, what are they doing in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, I'm over that. I get the whole concept.
No, I get it.
Thank you, Nick.
It's more of a music hall of fame, and or as some people say, it's an attitude, rock attitude or hall of fame. There are artists that are not pure rock and roll that I think should be in. I've gotten past that. But look, I can't believe Jethro Tull has never even been nominated.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
That's bizarre.
And I fought for Rush. They got in. I fought for Chicago. I fought for the Moody Blues. And I was helpful in hopefully getting them nominated and being put in. Dave Matthews' Band got turned down the first year they got nominated.
Wow.
Finally, the second year they got in. I mean, how does Dave Matthews' Band not get in the first year?
Right.
I mean, they're the Derek Jeter of rock and roll as far as they sell tickets every year for the last 30 years. Simple.
And it's a unique sound.
It is.
Unique sound, mix of South African, where he was born, to an American, and he sells a lot of records, and it was amazing he didn't get in the first year. As everything in life, it's not fair.
Right. That's a better way to look at it.
Yep.
It's just, you know.
It's part of life.
You know, there's the Wiggles, okay?
Yes.
The Wiggles.
They'll be in the hall.
They've come full circle.
The Wiggles will get in before Jethro Tull.
That would suck.
Speaking of the Rock Hall of Fame, Jimmy, what do you think of the fan vote of Phish?
I wasn't surprised by it, but I don't think they should have been the number one choice, although I did vote for him. I think they should be in. I still feel Bad Company should be the number one choice and should get in over everybody.
It's amazing.
But I think it's
going to
be announced.
Already made it in.
How?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be announced, what, Sunday night? I think it's being announced on American Idols.
What's
that about?
Wow.
That's what I read. Yeah.
Kind of ironic.
That's a strange way to do it.
I it's never been done like that before, but I read that in the paper. It's going to be announced, I think, this Sunday night.
And it'll be after the break. Yeah,
I might have to watch American Idol.
The next act into the Rock Hall of Fame, right after this.
Yep.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show. Derek wants to know about Iron Maiden.
Not aware of them touring in 2025. you know, it's the ultimate question every week, and I appreciate it, and I work my butt off to get Bruce and the band in, that's for sure. But not aware of a 2025 tour.
Andre wants to know about David Lee Roth.
He is going to tour. We did put an offer in for him to play in Connecticut. We offered him Toads. We offered him Oakdale. And we haven't heard back yet. So hopefully we'll hear back.
Chris has a question about the Brothers. Chris?
Good morning, Jim. Yeah, I heard about the Brothers shows at the at Madison Square Garden last week, and I'm mad that I missed them. I'm kicking myself over that one. I know they only do it like once a year, but any possibility of ever getting them to do a date in Connecticut, since you know J-Mo so well and he's a Connecticut resident, any that would be so awesome. Those shows sounded awesome. I saw the YouTubes.
I saw clips, and yeah. I agree. Yeah. I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this good.
Damn.
Yeah, I was out Tuesday, and I couldn't go see him Tuesday. Then Wednesday, I thought of seeing them at the Garden, but nobody really invited me. I was a little upset that nobody really called me, invited me down. And then I get home at 5 o'clock, and I get a text from the manager who says there are two laminates waiting for you at 8 Penn Plaza.
Oops.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock, and you know, so yeah. I don't really want to go all the way down the city now at 5 o'clock. And so I ended up not going, so I watched it on Nugs, which was very exciting. They were great. And you know the manager guys. It's Andy Mendelsohn's brother.
So, Andy,
great
buddy.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, love Andy.
So I saw Andy last night. I went over and had dinner with Andy last night.
Cool.
And I offered him a lot of money to bring him out on 10 dates. And we'll see. He's going to talk to the guys and see if they'll tour sometime, either in the fall or sometime early next year. And awesome. I'd love to see him. I'd bring him into the XL Center in a minute, or Mohegan Sun, either one.
Jim, one other question. Any updates on Blackberry Smoke coming this year?
No word right now.
Are you trying to get them or what?
There's no word.
Well, if they're not out on the road, it's going to be hard to convince them to try. I only try when I hear they're on the road.
I'm trying telepathically.
I like Chris doesn't give up. That's awesome.
Are you trying? Get
different kind of smokes involved.
Jimmy, have you considered trying?
Well, I try for artists that sell arenas out, with all due respect to Blackberry Smoke. So I wait and hear if Blackberry Smoke is touring, and then we bring them in.
All righty. Thanks.
He sounds annoyed.
That was,
how dare you?
I should have phrased it differently.
That was your manager.
All righty.
It'll never play for me again.
Right.
AJ and I were backstage at the Milford Oyster Festival. We were about to bring out Blackberry Smoke.
Yep.
And there's a guy with what looks to be a giant joint just waving it around. Right, like, smoke. It's almost like a Pope thing, you know?
Blessings,
and he comes
sage.
Over to us, and he's like doing it all around us. I said, what's that? He goes, it's sage. I said, what does that do? He goes, it wards off evil spirits. And AJ says, we're still here. They didn't think it was funny.
No, they didn't. What's up with that?
Well, the guy who believes that bull crap is not going to laugh at your good joke.
This is true, yeah.
Ralph in East Haven.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Morning.
Hello. Jim, my question for you is, when you were on the show a couple of weeks ago, you said you were trying to get ZZ Top. Any progress with that yet?
We are making progress.
You trying?
I think it looks pretty good for either the Amp or Oakdale in the fall. We're working on both.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ralph. You too.
You as well.
We got to talk about today in Copley concert history. There's a lot of good ones on here.
We must.
Jimmy, what stands out to you?
Well, the Dead always stands out to me, but certainly Ozzy Osbourne and Metallica. I mean, what a great package. And Metallica being an opening act, wow. I mean, that just is... I don't remember what happened, but I can't imagine, with all due respect to Ozzy, how he wasn't blown off the stage by Metallica.
Right.
A young Metallica, you know, what's that, 39 years ago. Can't imagine what it must have sounded like. Because I just saw Metallica in Syracuse on Saturday night. I was up with them promoting a show in the Carrier Dome, and they are amazing. They broke the record, the house record. They beat the Who's record that was set in 1982. We had 48,000
wow.
Metallica, Pantera, and Suicidal Tendency fans.
Wow.
So it was quite a night. And so that really stands out the most. That was at the New Haven Coliseum in 1986.
Ozzy and Metallica.
Man.
Wow.
Right?
Damn.
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 Damn. Damn. Damn.
That's a lot of rock and roll Hall of Famers.
You got Foghat on here in 1972 in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey.
Oh, man, that's cool. Badass.
Yep. Yeah, in a club. That was a club.
Jay Giles, 1980 at the New Haven Coliseum.
Wow.
Somebody asked us last week. We didn't get to ask you on the air. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Peter Wolfe and doing his book signing. And while he was doing the book signing, he said, hey, is that place, Toad's Place, still open? And you said, oh, well, let's try to get him in for the 50th.
Yeah, we're going to try. Actually, my friend Laura Lynch brought me his book yesterday, and I slaughtered it last night, which is great. And then she calls me and says, don't read the book. I said, but you gave me the book. She goes, do it audibly, because he reads the book himself.
Nice. Yes.
Nice.
I bought the audio version.
Yes.
Did you? I'm going to do that, too, because he knows how to. He's a disc jockey. You guys know how to talk.
Exactly.
You guys know how to tell stories.
Well, most of us do.
The jury's let on me.
Like, Jimmy, if you did a book, you'd have to do the audio book.
I would happily do the audio. I just don't want to do the book.
Right.
How do I pull that off? Peter's still on the road doing his book tour. So when he's off the road doing his book tour, which hopefully will be in the fall, we'll try to bring him into Toast.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That'd be a cool show.
Jimmy, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Speak to you next week.
How can elephants predict earthquakes better than our best technology?
How?
Let's talk to Ross McPhee. He's an elephant expert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. How do they do that?
Well, you use the word predict, and that's actually the source of much doubt and confusion. There's many reports, anecdotal reports, of different kinds of animals reacting in strange ways, abnormal behavior, immediately before an earthquake strikes a region. The trouble is that the information we've got is so limited and so, you know, randomly collected that there's no clear signal. What we do know, and what I think we want to talk about today in the case of the San Diego earthquake, is how a big animal like an elephant reacts when they feel an earthquake.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're ready. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about humans, first of all, and which are large mammals as well, how they react to something like an earthquake. Two things happen. First of all, protection of yourself, and then almost automatically and immediately protection of those who are nearest and dearest to you. So there's all kinds of stories of buildings shaking, that kind of thing. The adults run out of the house, turn around, and go back and make sure that the kids or the grandmother or what have you is safe. They bring them out as well. Elephants are smart animals. And for that reason, it's not surprising that a lot of the behaviors that they produce for us to analyze are not that much different, probably, in terms of the mental processes going on.
Yeah.
So, for example, in San Diego, what happened was a fairly mild earthquake occurred, and the elephants, who are zoo animals, did not have probably any previous experience of it. So they didn't know what was going on, but they knew that it was a potential danger. So if you look at the video, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, you see, first of all, that the adults are looking all around, their ears are flapping, their trunks are out, they're trying to detect what the nature of the unknown danger might be. And then very shortly thereafter, they gang together, form kind of a circle, and inside that circle, they put the youngest members.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be anthropomorphic about it. There's no reason to be. It's just the same kind of behavior that lots of mammals express for their infants and others.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's
it was cool. Fascinating to watch.
Yep. Circled them, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Next question, please.
All right. No, that's it. I'm good. Thank you.
We're just curious. Yeah.
How long have elephants been around?
Well, here's another thing that I'd like to introduce for your listeners, which is, okay, we can get the ground shaking, all of that kind of thing. We react in similar sorts of ways. But what do elephants have kind of in addition as a sensory capacity that we don't have in really the same way. That additional capacity is to be able to hear very, very low frequency vibrations. We have a certain cutoff, and elephants are able to go well below that. What that means is that they can detect sounds that are very low register that we can't detect. Now, how do they do that? One of the ways in which they do that is the ordinary way. They hear through their ears on their heads. But they also have the capacity to hear what's called bone conduction. All that means, it's the same principle as when you put a tuning fork to the, just behind your ear. You're hearing the vibrations and the result of those vibrations inside your head in the usual kind of way, but not through transmitting through the auditory canal, not through your ear, your external ear. You're hearing it instead because the sound waves are going through the bone of the skull, causing sensation that the brain interprets as sound. Here's the deal with elephants. They are able to literally hear through their feet. Now, some people have asserted, I've noticed on some of the commentary that has accompanied the San Diego quake, that the elephants have special nerves that go from the feet up to the ears. No, that's not how it happens at all. Instead, the transmission is going through their big columnar-like legs, transmitted all the way through their body tissues, and when you get as far as the ear, that's when the sound is detected.
Because their feet are basically flat, right?
It literally travels through their feet.
Yeah.
It literally travels through their feet, which is amazing. And it's not just about detecting earthquakes. It's also about being able to call to one another. Everyone knows about elephants trumpeting, that kind of thing. But they're able also to stamp their feet in certain kinds of ways to transmit sounds over rather long distances to their herd mates that might be off in another area.
That's
like
wild.
A secret handshake.
Morse code.
Like smoke signals or something.
Exactly.
It also means that they're able to detect very distant low-frequency signals, so like you get with a really bad thunderstorm, for example.
Yeah, like dogs get wigged out.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it's not that they're different from us. It's just that they have certain aspects of their anatomy and their physiology that are emphasized, just as we have. And they use that for survival and hunting down things and all the rest of it.
What's going on with dogs when they hear thunder and they get all freaked out and jump in a bathtub or whatever? Is it hurting them? Is the sound hurting them?
I wouldn't say that. It's kind of a broad scale report or reaction to something that is not frequently occurring in their environment. Okay. So when a gun goes off, for example, the dogs will do the same kind of thing. If they're not gun dogs and they're not used to that sound, then they're going to react. Your cats, same thing.
Yeah.
I guess if I didn't know what thunder was, I would freak the hell out as well.
I'd book it too.
My cat's cool with the thunder, weirdly, but when it's very windy during a rainstorm, that's when he gets weirded out.
Yeah, my cats too.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Yeah, fire especially. Well,
that's another one for dogs especially too. Yeah.
It's just a broad-based reaction to the unfamiliar. It's protection.
How long do elephants live?
Good question. In the wild, they frequently live up into their 60s.
Whoa.
And in captivity, they can live maybe 10 years more than that. So not very different from us in a way.
Wow. And is that true that they never forget? No, that's a no.
Two of the old saws. Okay, they're smart. Let's start there. So they have memories that are obviously very different from ours in terms of content and that kind of thing. But they do retain mental images, let's put it that way, of things that have happened to them in the past. And they can use that experience for whatever's going on in the present day.
Well, you can borrow money from them.
So if you've treated an elephant badly, this is where it all comes from. If you've treated an elephant badly or hurt it in some way, and it identifies that pain with you, you're in trouble. better not be in the same space as that elephant that you've hurt in the past.
Yeah, it'll smash you.
So it's that kind of thing. It's not that they have...
So if I'm on a safari and I take a picture of an elephant, 10 years later I come back, probably not going to remember me.
Right.
But if I throw a rock at it, I come back 10 years later, it's going to remember me.
It's going to be just your helmet and
you
boots.
You better put on a lot of eau de cologne because elephants use smell.
Oh, scent.
As their major way of detecting things in the environment.
Yeah. Oversight. So they don't visually remember your face. They remember your scent.
But your Coach Cologne, boy, they got a little bit. Yep.
Well, I would say that all of the senses are combined. But the important contrast between us, we have very defective senses of smell compared to almost all other mammals. Elephants, on the other hand, are at the opposite end of the extreme. They have more detectors, genes that are connected with the sense of smell than anybody else. So, among mammals, that is. So it's an important thing to realize that elephants, when you're seeing them in captivity or even on safari or something like that, and they're trying to detect you and what's going on, they're going to shoot their trunks out so that they can get a good trunk full of odors and see what's going on.
Pacaraban.
So that trunk is something. Some of them have like a finger or two on the end, right?
That's right. Here's the analogy I would use. So humans, with our hands, we're able to do all kinds of delicate maneuvers. We can haul big, heavy objects with solid grips, or we can very delicately paint or
tie shoes.
Also requires very, very sensitive.
Clear nostril.
Roll a joint, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say make dumplings, but sure.
Roll a joint, then make dumplings.
Right.
Elephants can move trees. They can break down trees, get them out of the way.
I've seen some of that footage.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It is scary.
It's so fast. It's just gone.
Yeah.
Right. And at the same time, they can pick up a single leaf with that so-called finger.
Wow.
That's amazing. Strong but delicate.
Can they,
muscles.
Have they, like, can they, like, grip a person like a snake with their trunk?
Can they do what to a person?
Like wrap their trunk around a person.
Like an anaconda squeeze.
Yeah, of course.
Really?
If you've ever seen movies of the mahouts, the elephant handlers in places like India, they're trained to pick up the mahout standing, right, with their trunks wrapping around and then placing them immediately behind their necks.
Right. No, but can they kill someone with that grip?
You're more likely to be trodden on than...
Right, that's their go-to.
It holds you in place.
Yeah. But if they wanted to...
Yeah.
I suppose so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know of any observations.
I feel like you haven't been asked this question, so I'm going to take that as put that on my resume. This guy's been asked everything, but not that one.
Yep.
We're joking, but literally hundreds of people are killed every year by elephants in places like South Asia and in Africa. That's because elephants, just like us, don't like to be bothered. And if you're coming in, causing them grief or pain or something like that, they're going to react. And since elephants come in at 8,000, 10,000 pounds, when they react, you know about it.
Yep.
Yeah. They're beautiful animals.
You go squish now, yes.
Do they, when they're old and they're going to die, do they walk off? I heard that. They walk off and just die alone.
This is the elephant graveyard kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been alleged. It really doesn't work that way. Yes, older members are going to lag behind their, if they've got some problem, some disease, then they're going to spend a lot of the time on the ground and that kind of thing. But what generally happens is that the herd stays with members that are in distress. It's a very interesting thing, another resemblance in a way to human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They look after each other. And in looking after each other, if somebody is in distress, they do what they can until they can't. And by that I mean that they've got to move on to find water or what have you. It's very rare, in fact, I would say, that elephants that are in a normal herd kind of thing, that have not been treated badly by local humans or something of that nature, they tend to stay together and to die in some relation to the rest of the group.
The sound that the trumpet sound that they make with their trunk, Where would that, where does that score, like on a sound meter? How loud is
like decimals,
that?
Yeah.
Questions I've never had before. I have no idea. Really loud. You can hear them over the distance of a couple of miles.
Oh. Miles.
Like the solo.
Well, in quiet air, obviously, if you've got traffic.
Yeah. Right, not in New York City.
Right,
but
right across the jungle. Africa,
Wow.
Because they have to signal each other. Remember, they're living in groups. They're living in herds. Let me say a word about the herds that listeners may or may not know
about. Then we're going to roll.
The herds are matriarchal. They're run by a lead female and her daughters and their daughters.
Just like us.
Young male. Hold it.
They're loud.
Young males up to the time of puberty are part of that mixture. But as soon as they start showing signs of puberty, they're asked to leave. They're driven out, and they have to make lives for themselves thereafter.
Me too.
And the interesting thing is, just like human teenagers, males in particular, when they leave home, they scarcely know how to take care of themselves. So there's a period in which they're eating badly. For example, the same thing happens to young
men. Wow. I didn't realize I had so much in common with an elephant.
Exactly right. They hang out a lot. They're smoking.
Loud. This is cool.
Right.
I see elephants whole, completely, like my brother.
Right. They're wearing jeans all fit.
Bass
hanging out.
Yeah.
Yep. You like an elephant. Remember all the teachers that treated you poorly.
It's true. That's right.
It's true.
That's right. Great point.
All the kids that threw rocks.
Ross.
Let's talk about another myth that people have. Not so much a myth.
I got to go. But, man, I could talk to you all day.
Okay.
You're fascinated. We got to have you back.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Ross.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right.
Thank you.
It's Ross McPhee with the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. How cool is that?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.